talked specifically about Saint Nick. And we talked about how Saint Nick and the legend of Saint Nick was that he was a good person. And that Saint Nick, his parents died at a very young age. He was given a very large inheritance. Many people thought that Saint Nick would just go and kind of be the ills of his ways, that he would turn into something that was bad. But in all honesty, Saint Nick became a bishop. He became what they called a saint, a believer in God. And Saint Nick took his inheritance and he gave it to those individuals who are in need. It was an example for all of us to follow, that you and I too should take what God has given you and me, and we should give to help those that are in need. We live in a society where Paul told us in Scripture that we need to be all things to all people. It's very hard to do so that you don't cross the line and become of the world. Now, the Bible tells us we live in the world, but we're not of the world, and that's the greatest challenge of all, so that we can minister to people in the world to go, you know, we have the same challenges that you do, but we are supernatural individuals who have been born again by a supernatural God who has given us tools that the world doesn't have, and, you know, we are different people. The world is made of symbolisms, and as much as we see the Santa Claus or the red suits today, it is symbolic of Saint Nick. And when we sit around our Christmas trees and we talk to our children, we talk to them about a man who loved God. We talk to them about a man who gave his inheritance to help those in need. Well, there's a lot of people today. Years ago, I put up a Christmas tree at the other church on the altar, and it was just absolutely got blasted because so many people said it was sacrilegious to put this green tree up on the stage. Well, it's not sacrilegious, and I think because we live in a world of symbolism, I think it's important for us to understand why we do what we do. Now, I've grown up with a Christmas tree. I like Christmas trees. Since we've been pastors of this church, the only Christmas tree that comes up now is the one here because we don't have time to put the one up at the house. And I don't mind putting the one up at the house, but I hate taking the one down at the house after we've taken the one down over here to have to go back to my house and take that one down. So we decided to leave that one down so we could put this one up. Woo! Okay. What? Okay. I didn't touch that tree, okay? Pam, Sandy, and Mike put that tree together, okay? Nope. Oh. I'm sorry, Mike. You're out of the picture too, buddy. You know, there's no pride in this room, let me tell you. Now, Pam and Miss Cindy put that tree up. They put a lot of trees up. But anyhow, we're going to talk about the Christmas tree today. And my question is it really just a tree? You know, God gave us things so that when we would see things, that there's a story that would help us all in a deeper and truly a different way. Luke says this. Luke says, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. One of the things that's unique about the term swaddling clothes were actually strips of cloth, and it was used for death preparation. So when you look at what we talk about today in regards to Scripture, you're going to see the beginning, but you're also, through symbolism, will see the end. So we see that she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Did she understand exactly what all that meant? I don't know. Did Jesus understand what that meant? Without a doubt, because he's God, he's man, he was a child. But I believe he understood how come that he was here, but wrapped him in swaddling clothes, placed him in a manger. Now, drive around town today, and it's nothing but decorations. You know, it used to be when I went to church years ago for Christmas, you wore your Sunday best. You know, I mean, it was the best of the best. And we don't do suits and ties anymore, and that's okay. But when the Messiah comes, when the King of Kings comes, you would have thought that he would come in a different manner in which he did, but he came in swaddling clothes. He wasn't placed at the Warwick Hotel. He found a place, and the only place that was there was a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Now, there was no room because a census was being taken, and all of the rooms were being filled. Now, was that by happenstance, or could it be that God planned it exactly this way? Amen. Next, in Luke, it says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign. God, through the angels, came to the shepherds, told the shepherds a story. The shepherds wanted to go see, and the sign was that you would find a baby again wrapped in swaddling clothes." Did they understand the big picture about him being wrapped in swaddling clothes, that was really strips of clothes that would be used for funeral preparations years from then? And it says they saw him lying in a manger. Wasn't a king-size bed, wasn't a queen-size bed, didn't have pillars on it, it didn't have satin sheets on it, there was no signs of royalty whatsoever, but he's lying in a manger in a dirty, stinky stall. And that's not where most people would have thought that the Lord of Lords would and the King of Kings and the God of all gods would have been born. So they hear the story, Luke says, so they hurried off, found Mary, Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the manger. Now again, what I want you guys to see here is that what most people thought where Christ should have been born is not. Again, he wasn't born in a place that was the finest of all. He was literally born in a manger where animals and where the stench of animals were, and he was lying in a feed trough, and he was wrapped in burial clothes. Nothing what you and I would have thought, again, that our God would have been born in that manner. So let's talk a little bit today about the Christmas tree, okay? Now, Acts 5 says, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. Now, we know that Jesus Christ died for you and me. And when you and I sit around and we look at our Christmas trees, it's a wonderful opportunity to share with our children that, yes, this is a green tree. And our God died on a tree for you and me. If you look at an evergreen tree stays green forever. That's what it is. That's why it's called evergreen. But the thing about it is, our God has done a whole lot for us too. That tree has an everlasting life to it, and our God has provided you and me everlasting life at the same time. So when we talk about our Christmas trees, we want to talk about, yes, our Lord died on this tree, but the tree that you see tonight is a tree that is totally different. Because of this tree, you and I have an everlasting life, which is representative in the green, evergreen tree that we have in our homes. But it said, God exalted him to his own right hand, a prince and a savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. Amen. Have you ever looked at your Christmas tree in such a way to see the picture that Christ died on a tree, but because of Christ, you and I have everlasting life? Because of Christ, there is forgiveness of sins. Because of Christ, there are all the gifts and the wonderful blessings that he has given us. See, we fall short that we never tell the story of Christmas around that tree. You know, we look at the gifts as kids, that's all that we see, but there are so many gifts based upon this tree that we need to share the story of Christ about that tree. Now, John says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Well, because of Jesus Christ, you and I have eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, but God's wrath remains on him. It is important for us as fathers and grandparents to share with them, because of the tree, that Christ came and gave us everlasting life, and that we have eternal life because of what he's done for you and for me. Well, if you have friends over, if you have your children and they're growing up, they might ask you the question, what is eternal life? And it gives you and me the opportunity to begin to share with them a story maybe that they've never heard before. Okay? Now, Christmas lights. Now, we all have Christmas lights on our trees. You go around town, you see Christmas lights. But let me share with you the significance of these lights. Now, first of all, in Matthew, it says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. First, that you and I need to understand this Christmas, we are the light in a dark, dying, and desperate world. Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Here's where we're missing out. See, Christmas is not just about gifts. Christmas is not about what we get. Christmas is about what we give. Because what we give because we got. And what we got is because someone gave. And the idea is that God gave his Son so that you and I would get what we've got, and that would be eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, you and I are to be a light. Now, you know, you can't have darkness where there's light. It doesn't work. You know, you could turn all the lights off in this room, have one tiny little light, and it lights the room. And when there is light, there is no darkness. Well, who is going to be the light in the dark and desperate world that we live in? Everyone in this room. You have a task to do. God did not make you to sit on these chairs. God did not make us to do nothing except have fire insurance. And God made us so that we would be the light in this world. And this will hurt some feelings, and if it does, I'm sorry, but I'm going to save it. You hear a lot of people today talk about all the things they used to do. Wonderful. But see, God doesn't care about what you used to do. God cares about what you're doing today, okay? I don't care if you're 80 years old and you live on all you used to do. God goes, that was great and that was wonderful, but what are you going to do for me today? And that's why we need to be the light of the world. The Christian light is flickering out. The light can't be seen. And one of the things that we talked about last week is because we are so concerned about being politically correct, we have forgotten about being biblically correct, that when we light our light so that we're not offensive, we put a bowl over ourselves, and that's a bunch of nonsense. We need to take the bowl out. We need to hold our heads up high. We need to be the light in the dark world. We need to tell people that we are children of the Most High God. I am a child of the Most High God, and I'm going to light this world up for the cause of Christ. Now, it said instead they put it on a stand. You and I need to take that stand. If we don't take the stand, there will be nothing to stand upon in the days to come. Matthew says, in the same way, let your light shine before men. You can no longer be afraid, no longer be embarrassed, not to talk about Jesus Christ. It was so funny the other day, and I can't use the words, but I got a text. And it says, "Hey, Nate told me to call you, Bill." So I text back and said, "This is not Bill." So the guy comes back and he goes, "Oh, beep, I'm sorry." And then I text back and said, "It's okay. This is Pastor Keith. You can call me anytime you want to." And he says, "Thanks." And that was it. That was the last of that conversation. You know, we have to let our light shine before men that they may see. We don't need to hear about what you've done. We need to see about what you're doing and praise your Father in heaven while you're doing it. Amen. The Bible says through prayer and supplication, and this is the hard part, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, John says when Jesus spoke again to the people, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Who is going to share the story? We know that God manifested himself in the person Jesus Christ. He came. He was a baby in a manger. He lived on this earth for 33 years. The last 3 years of his ministry was just absolutely infilled with the Holy Spirit. He did all the things that God asked him to do. He went to the cross. He died. He rose. He's in heaven. And he says, "Guys, the work is yours now." He says, "Not only can you do the works that I've done, but even greater works can you do that I've done." Who's going to do the works if you and I do not go to the world to go, "Jesus is the light of the world"? And whoever looks at Jesus, whoever has a relationship with Jesus, whoever follows Jesus will never, never walk in darkness again. Amen? Amen. So it's our task, starting right now, to change our whole mindset. Church needs to become number one. All the other stuff that we do needs to become number two, and we need to share that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, so this world will stop walking in darkness. Amen. And it's up to you and me to get it done. Now, let's talk about the garland. You know, we used to tick my mom off, which was not very easy, I mean hard for us when we were kids. But you remember, if you're old enough, the little tinsel? You know, it came in that little, and you, well, my mom wanted one piece at a time. Lord have mercy. You'd be there for a week. You know, when mom was gone, we'd get it and go, and she, "All right, who threw that tinsel on that tree like that?" You know, well, then she'd put garland on it. Well, it had to be positioned in the right way. Well, we would just run around the tree, you know, and put it on. Well, that wasn't cool with mom, and it's not cool for us today, and let me share with you why. If you look at the garland on a Christmas tree, from this day forward, I want you to see it as a golden thread that runs through Scripture. From the beginning of the book of Genesis, it runs through all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. See, garland is something that went around. It kind of tied things together. And Romans 15:4 says, "For everything that was written in the past," which is the Old Testament, "was written to teach us so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures that you and I might have hope." See, we live in a world today where people have no hope at all. Go look at the malls today, and people are spending their credit cards, and they have no money to spend, and they're getting in debt. You can just look at their face. You see people today that have lost loved ones this year. You see people today who are going through the challenges of life right now. And our God has given us a tree to go. Because of that tree, you and I are heirs of Abraham, and we have an everlasting life. He has given us light. He says, "If you follow me, you'll never live in a dark world again." And now he has given us the scripture, which is all tied together from the very beginning word to the very last word of Revelation. And it is important for us to make sure that we take scripture and that we tie it all together. Jeremiah 29:11, and it's not something you'd normally think you'd use for Christmas, but it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." When you were born, God knew the plans. Before you were born, God knew the plan. God knows the plan that he has for you and for me. He's got it, but it's a plan and it's a declaration. It says, declares the Lord. It is a declaration from the Lord. And he said, it is a plan to prosper you. If you're not prosperous, then you're not living the covenantal promise that God has given us. He's going to prosper us, not harm us, and plans to give you and me a future and to give us hope. And if we ever need hope, we need hope in 2019 so that you and I can make one more step toward 2020. Now, in the Old Testament is full of laws. It is full of the prophets who spoke the word. It is full of prophecy. The New Testament, though, which is so awesome, because when we take the Lord's Supper, he says specifically, you know, on that night in which he was betrayed. Well, on that night, he gave, okay, he gave a piece of bread, broke it, said, this is symbolic of my body. But he said, in the same way, I want to give you a cup. But the cup is a cup of a new covenant of the blood that was shed on the cross. So if you go back to the very beginning and you think about the Christmas tree, the tree that he died on, the fact that you and I have everlasting life, the fact that you and I are supposed to be the light of the world, and the fact that he says, if you follow me, you'll never walk in darkness again. And now we're talking about the garland, the thing that ties the Bible all together. And you think about the birth of Christ, you think about the crucifixion of Christ, what he did for us, the resurrection of Christ. Oh, but church, how awesome is this? One day there will be the return of Christ where all of this is going to be tied together and he will take us home with him. Philippians 4. And I got to tell you, I struggle with this verse. Not that it's true. I just struggle with it personally in my life. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Whew. Got to tell you, that's not easy to do, you know. But it says about everything by prayer and petition. And I don't know why this word is there. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Amen? I was going to share, and I wasn't going to share, and I said I was going to share, but I'm going to share. 2 weeks ago, I have been having issues with my chest. So, not really knowing what it is, I went to the doctor. He says, do this, do that. And then he says, go to the dermatologist. I went to the dermatologist. They found out that I had a lump, candidly, in my chest. So, and I'm not ashamed to say this. The doc says to me, you need to go take a mammogram. Say what? Did I hear this right? So I had to go take a mammogram. Now, ladies, God bless y'all from now on. I will never, I'm just telling you, man. So, yeah, they put you in ways. I mean, it's like, how could you do this to me, man? So anyhow, I go in there. They take the picture, and it shows the mass. Well, I got to tell you, be anxious about nothing? I blew that passage all to heck. I'm anxious about everything right now, you know? So then they go over, And they had to take an ultrasound. And you see that too. And she's telling this other lady, and I'm thinking, you could shut up right now and talk to her later about my case, you know. So I'm laying there on the deal, and the doc comes in, and he says, I got good news and bad news. Good news, it's not cancer. And I said, listen, there is no bad news after that news, okay? Tell me what you want, but there ain't nothing bad here. But prior to that, for the 2 weeks of going through all this stuff, and Mark Candy and I talked the other night, and I want this church to start this. I prayed and I fasted. Now, I didn't fast from a TV program. I didn't fast from not eating something. I fasted for 3 days the first week, 3 days the next week. And I had a bowl of oatmeal in the morning, and that's all I ate for the rest. This church needs to learn how to fast, okay? Because we feed the spiritual body and not the physical body. But I prayed, and I fasted, and I read, and I journaled, and I prayed, and I fasted, and I read the scripture. I did everything. And when we left the hospital, I told Pam that another pastor gave me the passage, and it came out of 1 Peter 4:12, and it says, don't be surprised when the fiery trials come upon you. You know, it's like, oh my gosh. But it says that, you know, rejoice when you get this revelation from God. And I told Pam over the last 2 weeks, I said, what I did for those 2 weeks shouldn't be something I did for the 2 weeks. That ought to be my everyday life. Amen. Now, here's a cool thing. The guy told me all the different causations of what this could be. Well, I had a cardiology appointment that afternoon, and I went to the doctor, and he says, how you been doing? And I said, you know, I'm doing okay. I want off this specific medication. And he said, how else you been doing? And I told him about the test. And he says, wait a minute. And he looked in his little machine, and he said, the medication that you're wanting off is the medication that sometimes causes the issue that you had. So how cool is it through prayer and fasting and supplication? And I got to tell you, I wrote in my journal my measure of faith, because sometimes it was strong, sometimes it wasn't. But how God will reveal to you his glory, and God showed me the possible cause of the reasons why I went through this. God is not a respecter of people. I am nothing except a child of the Most High God. And I'm here to tell you today, if God can do this for me, God can do it for every person that's in this church today. Amen? But what you and I have got to do as a church is begin to take this serious, that we can't be anxious, and I know that we are, and when we are, we go to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we go, listen, I'm really struggling right now, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we need to let our requests be made known to God. Now, you think God doesn't know that you're scared already? Do you think God doesn't know that you're worried already? He knows it all. But he said specifically, if you do these things, a peace will fall upon you, and it will guard your hearts and mind, not in the world, but in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? All right. Now, here's where it gets good. There are ornaments on our trees, okay? Matthew says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down to him. There's a key here, because in my journal, I wrote, Father, every name shall bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Okay? So it says they bowed down to him and they worshiped him and they opened up their treasures. And they presented him with gifts of gold. And what gold meant is that that was kingship. That was a worldly kingship. They gave him incense. It was frankincense, which was it was a sign of deity. And then it was myrrh, which is embalming. It showed it was symbolic of his death. So they gave him these gifts. Well, when you look at your Christmas tree and you see the different ornaments on your tree, you need to remember the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. And we need to share that with our children, what these ornaments meant. But also we need to share with our children and we ourselves is that but the fruit of the Spirit. See, you and I have been given all of this, and it started when he died on that tree. And now we have everlasting life. He is the light of the world, and we are to be the light in a dark world today. There is a golden thread that ties the Bible all together. And now what's most important are the ornaments, the gifts that you and I have so that we can operate in a broken and busted world. So he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, this is your gift, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Well, sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. When that lady put me in that machine, there was no self-control left at all. I lost it. And waiting on the doctor to give me the report, there was no patience there either. But these are gifts that you and I need to begin to operate with. And it says, if you belong to Christ, if. That doesn't mean you know God. Doesn't mean that you know Christ. Doesn't mean that you know the Holy Ghost. It means if you have a relationship with Christ. That's that he knows you and you know him. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. You go, wow, whoopee. No, here's the great thing about that. If you are of Abraham's seed, then you are heirs according to the promises that God gave to Abraham. And when you look at all of the ornaments on the tree, you could never forget all the gifts that God has given you and me from what that original tree cost, which was his life. Now, the word in John says became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen, I'm telling you, I saw his glory Thursday afternoon through answered prayer. But it says that he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And if you know the truth, the Bible says the truth is going to set you free. And I want you to see this. The virgin will be with child. And she's going to give birth to a son. And they're going to call him Emmanuel. God with us. If we end here, it's still awesome. But let's end right here. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who could ever be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give you and me all things? Give God glory today in his house. Amen and amen.